Monday! Open wide dev fans! Get ready to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, Node Modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax on this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be talking about coupons, building a coupon engine. It's something that if you work in e-commerce or something in general, if you're working on the web now, coupons are a whole thing. Now, we're going to be talking about some strategies for building a coupon engine, some ideas behind it, some do's and don'ts, and just some general thoughts. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado, and with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, coupon engines, complicated, lots of if statements.
Lots of ifs.
Lots
if coupon
ifs.
Equals this coupon, give discount.
We are sponsored by two awesome companies today. Prismic and LogRocket. Let me tell you about Prismic. Prismic is a headless CMS where you just sign up and start creating your content types. It's awesome. So they focus their CMS around this thing called slices, which I think is really cool. So what you do is you sign up for Prismic, you log in, you can start creating your data types. But instead of creating just like pages, you can create slices. So maybe you could create a person slice, and a person might have a name and a job title and a photo and maybe some other information that associated with that slice. And then once you've got these different types of slices, you can bring them in and sort of, it's just a page builder at that point. What I really like is that a slice on Prismic is just a component in your application, that whatever it is that you're using to consume the API and build it out. It works really good. I used it myself on a website about 6 months ago, and I really, really like that approach. So check it out for yourself. Prismic.io/syntax. They got a whole bunch of starters. You can check it out with any of the starters that you want to use, whether using React or Vue or Svelte or whatever. Thank you, Prismic, for sponsoring.
Sick. Cool. This episode is also sponsored by LogRocket, LogRocket. Love spelling things on syntax here. LogRocket is the perfect place to see all of your errors and exceptions happen in your site with a scrubbable video replay. But not only that, understand user behavior and figure out what exactly the good experiences and what the bad experiences are on your site and how you can go ahead and fix those with, actual visibility. It's really, really super neat. It's the modern front end tool for dealing with errors, exceptions, performance. Stop guessing about your digital experience, which is really, I mean, that really labels it. We send off these services, these apps, we just push them out to the public. People use them and they try them. And maybe 90% of the time, you'll never understand if a user hit a problem or why they hit a problem or where they hit slowness. But now you can understand all of that and more with LogRocket's scrubbable video replay, one of the coolest services that we've talked about here on Syntax. And you can go ahead and get 14 days for free if you sign up at logrocket.com/Syntax. Check it out. Works with all the tools you know and love, so you don't have to worry about, does this play nicely with Spaghetti Framework and that'd be a good name for a framework, actually. Spaghetti Framework and Meatballs.css. That'd be great. Okay, cool. So thanks so much for LogRocket for sponsoring. All right, Wes, coupon engines. Let's get in to coupon engines. I take it you have built a coupon engine, as I've also built a coupon engine. So I'm sure between the two of us, we have a lot of do's and don'ts here.
Yeah, coupons are a funny thing. And I'll start off by saying is if you are building a full-blown e-commerce solution, you probably want to use either a service or the one that's built into whatever. But like for my course platform, I built my own coupon engine, and there's a lot that surprisingly goes into it. And I thought we would just kind of go through the ideas behind building a coupon engine and the ones that we've built ourselves.
Yeah, I'm super into that. I'll kick it off by asking you are talking about Stripe, right? You use Stripe for your payment processing?
Yeah, but I don't use Stripe for any of my coupon stuff. Do you?
So we use Braintree, and Braintree has essentially an add-ons and a discounts feature baked in, and it is fairly limited. So ours is kind of like a layer on top of Braintree's. So we have to create a coupon in Braintree's dashboard and then create the same coupon in our database so that our site can, you know, control it just a little bit more than what Braintree is offering in terms of just like a straight up discount percentage or discount amount. So ours is kind of just like a layer in front of Braintree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've looked at that many times over, but the kicker for me is that I need PayPal. And you're lucky with Braintree where it does PayPal and credit cards.
Exactly.
But for myself, Stripe, if I move any logic into Stripe, I am then limiting myself from other things like PayPal or crypto or any other payment methods that I want to use. And at the time, when I had rolled out parity purchasing power, that was not something that Stripe offered at all. So it was just like, okay, you gotta build this thing yourself. So I don't do any of the coupon stuff instead of Stripe. I do it all in my own course platform.
Nice.
So let's talk about coupons first. When you create a coupon in your coupon engine, you make something. And for the longest time, my coupons were simply just an object in JavaScript, where the coupon itself was the key. And then in the object, it had all the information that we're going to be talking about. Since it's been moved to a database, because the biggest pain in the butt with that was I had to restart my app for a coupon to...
Oh, yeah, right. You change it. Oh, man.
To kick in. So it's much nicer to have them actually in the database yourself. But once you have a coupon... that coupon will have a bunch of metadata and what I'm going to call constraints in terms of like what they're good for. So obviously the big one is how much is the coupon good for? And is that a percentage or is it a flat dollar amount? So you have a coupon, coupon code syntax. It's good for $10 off. But I could also make another one called syntax 50, and it's a syntax is a percentage-based coupon where it's good for 50% off. Do you do both of those types as well? I know it's a bit different with you because you have recurring payments.
Yeah. We have those constraints, and ours is just a checkbox. Like the checkbox is percent discount. So if you type in 10, it by default is a $10 off coupon, but then if you check the is percentage discount, it'll be 10% off. So yeah, those are our constraints. We also have constraints on whether or not this can be used on a product or a subscription. And furthermore, if it's used on a subscription, can it be used on even like sub type of subscriptions? Can it be used on a team subscription? Can it be used on an individual or a yearly, an annual subscription? Can it only be used on an annual subscription? So like for instance, the syntax coupon that we have for our subscriptions can only be used on the annual subscription. So that's a constraint that we have there. But giving us that full control over, you can use this only on this specific SKU, only on this specific subscription or products in general, or subscriptions in general.
Yeah, this is where it starts to get a little bit bug eye because you're like, oh man,
yeah, it's logic-y. Yeah,
there's a lot to it. So my constraints that I have on mine are they can be constrained to a specific course or product. So the way that I do courses and products in mine is a course is React for Beginners, and a product is React for Beginners Starter Package, React for Beginners Master Package, which is all the videos, and then there is a team licenses, which goes up from there. So I'm able to restrict it. And the way I do it is I do like every single course I have has a code, RFB, React for Beginners. And then every single product has RFB 1, RFB 2, RFB 3, et cetera, et cetera. And there's all kinds of different products within there. So I built mine where you can restrict it to either an entire course or a specific product. What else do I have on there? Number of redeems. So sometimes I will email out and I'll say, okay, the next 100 people can get $10 off with this code. and you need to be able to limit the number of redeems. So it's pretty simple. Every single time someone redeems a coupon, it just increments the number of redeems on that coupon by one.
You include that data on the coupon itself in the database table?
Yeah, yeah, it's right on. You could also just call that info up from the database if you needed it. So you could query all coupons, but then I find it much easier just to set it. And that way you can also just blow the coupon out of the water and start back at zero if you want to, or if you need to increment it. One time I didn't do enough coupons. So like people 15 minutes after getting the email, it's already used up and people get mad at that. You know, that's frustrating. So I'll increment it and say, oh, sorry about that. This is one thing I don't have to necessarily do because I don't have a concept of a cart just yet. I will be rewriting my checkout, but if you want to buy multiples of my products, you just have to check out multiple times. But it would be nice to people could buy three products at once, three courses at once, right? So when you're building Coupon Engine, you need to know, like, is this coupon restricted to a specific product or can it be used on the entire cart? Is it 20% off a product or 20% everything that you put inside of the cart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are all tricky things because we would just do, we would do a percentage off. Yeah, that's actually tricky because what we don't do is we don't do a percentage off the whole cart. I would guess for individual course purchases, we're only doing dollar amounts because it does take it just straight out of the cart for us because we do have a cart, a whole shopping cart experience. So it's not the discount for us, I don't think, unless it's like a product sale, is ever being applied individually to one thing, but only being applied to the total cart. And therefore, I'm pretty sure we're only doing percentage off of subscriptions, but I'm not positive about that. That's really, like you said, there's so many permeations of all of this stuff that it's like,
and it's not necessarily a big deal,
right?
For that, but if you have a, I don't know, 20% off of a $40,000 car, you don't want to be able to get someone use a coupon code military or something.
Wait a second,
like
I had a coupon though. Don't I get like $5,000 off or whatever?
Yeah,
yeah.
Another thing I do is valid dates. So if something should be valid until Easter is over or until the new year, right? You can disable those. I have a valid or deactivated Boolean on there as well. So you can just turn coupons off. That's a big one for me because what happens is you give somebody a coupon and before you know it, that thing has made its way onto all the coupon websites or it's rippled through a Discord room or whatever. And sometimes that's fine. Sometimes it's like, no, that coupon was just meant for you. I made that up real quick just for you. In that case, I used to not have the concept of redeems as well. So in this case, I can make a single use coupon, which is really nice.
Nice.
Can they be stacked? Can you apply multiple coupons? I do nothing in that regard. One coupon per order. It is a little bit annoying sometimes when somebody wants to use a coupon, but they're also a student. And they want to stack those together. I currently don't have an option for that because the student discount is very generous. So in most cases, I say just use whichever one is better.
For us, a student discount is actually like a different space than a coupon. So like the student discount for us is its own subscription key. So the student subscription is its own key and its own thing that exists. And we just don't have our coupons able to be applied to that. But yeah, likewise, we only have one coupon per order, but I guess that sales and discounts is a little different for us.
Yeah, totally. I also do countries valid. So I can offer up a coupon and restrict it to certain countries. And that was important specifically because in Iran, I often get people wanting to use the Iranian discount, but not use it within Iran. In most cases, it's here's the coupon for the country. It can only be used in this country. And it's just one to one. But there's a couple countries where people have to use a VPN or they have to have a friend buy it who's in the UK, but they have to use their friend's credit card. You know, like there's some like messiness around that. So I have a little bit of logic around making sure that works and is not kind of annoying. Is it good for a new customer or an existing customer? This is not something I've integrated into mine because I don't necessarily care, but sometimes there's, half off, but only new customers. You know, a lot of times people want to do that inside of their product. So that's something to think about as well.
Yeah, we don't do any of that either.
What else do we have?
Affiliates. Yeah, sometimes a coupon's connected directly to an affiliate code. And I think about that because we don't do that way, but there's, you know, the tonal exercise thing I have. The way that their referral system works is that you create a referral code, and then that referral code is essentially a coupon code for whoever buys it to get a discount. So in that regard, the coupon is acting double duty, as it's probably attaching the referral to that user account at the same time it's giving a discount. But it's a great way to keep track of and give out. You know, what we do is we just end up having referral accounts, and then we give our affiliates coupons to give their audience. But maybe... Yeah. Just having them click, use this link and you'll get it for X, Y, and Z price is maybe a pretty sweet system. Actually, I think we could like really easily integrate that. So maybe that's something to look into.
I think I should be doing that as well, especially because if you are giving it to somebody, like let's say someone has a podcast and you want them to be an affiliate, telling them to use the link doesn't necessarily always work, but telling them to use the coupon code Syntax. And that way you can still give the person who referred credit, and then it's also done via word of mouth. You know who does that? Is
like 1,000 podcast sponsors.
yeah. So that's good. Let's talk about chaining the rules together. For mine, I thankfully don't have to do this.
I don't either, yeah. But
for a lot of times, you need to, like we talked about the restrictions, you can chain them together. People have built entire UIs, where you can chain ifs and ors together, or ifs, ands, and ors. Mm. So you can say, if the customer is new and, or like if the customer's email address ends in .harvard.edu and they're buying the course React for Beginners, or the customer's email address ends in Yale.edu and like something else, you know, like you could do, you could chain them together. And that gets a really, really out of, I deal with this in my email software a lot too, when I'm making complex rules, because you just get it. You have to keep it all in your head in terms of how it's all working and whatnot. Another thing with the affiliate is, I tell my affiliates not to put the coupons on their websites. Because what I find is that before somebody buys something, the first thing they do is they just Google West Boss coupon code.
Yep.
And then they'll go to the website, and like it's kind of like a ingenuous, like if I have somebody on the website ready to buy, then they just go and look for a coupon code, and it makes you click the link, and then it tags that sale as their affiliate. It's not really their affiliate. All they did was just like SEO game the fact that it was an affiliate. So I tell my affiliate, you can't just like, like you can give it in your email or whatever, but don't put them on like Retail Me Not or something like that, or like your own personal blog, because then you're getting affiliates for like nothing really.
Yeah, I don't say this to be cool, but I don't really care about that. Like I'm not like trying to be like, oh blah, but I guess I don't care if they get posted to that stuff, because I don't know how much you can stop that, you know. There's just like something like piracy of our courses. You know, people email me all the time, I found your courses on this website. Actually, I got a really funny DM the other day. Someone was like, hey, I just so you know, you're exposing this paid font in a repo. And I didn't realize I was exposing a paid font in a repo. And they're like, your repo has been like posted on some like hackers for, like, I really want to get this font. Where can I get it? Oh, check out Scott Polinsky's repo. And I pulled it down obviously like immediately. Oops. And I had no idea, but it was like, I don't know, just how much that stuff you can stop. If it's out there, people are going to post it.
You can have safeguards in place, but you cannot ruin your day trying to chase around and enforce that, because at the end of the day, your time is better spent making content and furthering your business rather than trying to just protect it. You know, it's you're not going to win that game ever.
Yeah. You're going to end up like Metallica.
Totally. Another thing is, you can do like tracking coupons, which is kind of interesting, where Like, let's say you wanted to, give a $10 off coupon to 30 people.
Conference attendance.
Conference attendance. And every single person gets their own unique one. You can just make let's call it Reactathon. You could say like Reactathon 10-ABC123. Mm-hmm. And that dash, you can infer the details of the coupon from the first bit of that coupon. And then you can use the additional stuff after the dash as a unique identifier if you need to be able to track, like, okay, this one talk brought in 6 sales, whereas the other talk brought in none. And you could just make multiple coupons, but if you need to make hundreds of them, it's kind of nice to be able to do it in that regard, where it just starts with the coupon. Clever. And then the rest of it is metadata.
Yeah, very clever. Very
partial
clever.
Match or something.
Yeah.
Automatically apply coupons. This is something I don't do. I'm curious if you do it. So if you wanted to...
I was just thinking about like the affiliate link stuff that we were talking about. This would be a good use case for that if they had an affiliate link and they used a query parameter being passed into the URL, you drop it in as a cookie, and maybe that cookie could be used to apply some sort of automatic discount. We don't do it, but it seems cool.
It's something I probably will do as part of my checkout, because then the person doesn't have to go and find it or copy and paste it. Or like the thing, a problem I had many years ago is people would copy paste it, but they have a space in the front of it. And then it wouldn't get applied. And it's like, it's a simple, just trim it. But there's just little things like that. And it's actually really funny. I should have run some stats. Is I can see what coupons people try unsuccessfully, but still go through. So like I've run stats, just like free ship is the big one, or like West Boss or Love You or something like that. Like what people type into the, cause you know, I do it all the time. Whenever I'm checking out, I'm like, all right, let's try free ship, or let's try.
I'd never done that before. That's very funny.
No. Oh man. No. I do it all the time. It never works. But.
That's funny. That's very funny. Okay, let's talk about some other little tips here. I have some quick tips, especially if you're building this thing yourself. Normalize to upper or lowercase because users will type. So do it two ways. Normalize the input. Ain't nobody want to have to worry about if the first letter is capitalized by their phone's keyboard on a coupon thing, right? So in the UI, have that be normalized to all caps or all lowercase, whatever. So they can't even type in something that's not. But also, before you check to see if the coupon exists server side, just run that thing to all lowercase or all uppercase. Make sure your ones in the database are the same. Make sure they're all the same. People will goof that up left and right. And likewise, don't try to get fancy with two-word stuff, hyphens, underscores. No, thank you. If it's syntax 30, do just syntax 30. Don't do syntax hyphen 30. That ain't going to work out either. So just make it as easy as possible for the user.
Yeah, I've run into that many times. Just make it as nice and clean as you possibly can. Otherwise, people will goof it up. And even then, I get people do spelling mistakes. What I found helpful there is good error messages if something is expired. Like you put in a thing and it just says invalid coupon. Mm. And you're just like, what the hell? This email says it's good, right? But if you can say that coupon is no longer valid or it's been deactivated after these dates, that's really helpful, because the last thing you want to do is make your users mad when they're trying to buy your product, right?
The last thing you want to do is make your users mad. Definitely.
Other than that, I think that's all the tips I have. You have anything else to add?
No, I think we nailed it. Coupons. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
It is a whole thing. It's a good way. And I would love to talk to somebody one day who has built an entire coupon for like an online car or something like that, you know, or like a coupon that is good for 10% off up to a maximum of $30. You know, that's both, right? It's percentage based, but it's also like this flat dollar amount. That's something you could do as well. There's just, it's endless, the coupon logic. And every now and then you hear about like a couple of months ago, there was an Abercrombie coupon where somebody on TikTok figured out that you can get 90% off everything at Abercrombie. And there was just like all kinds of people on TikTok buying thousands of dollars worth of code.
Oh, that's funny.
Of clothes. And then like Abercrombie, they ship the orders. But like, you know, somewhere there's a freaking poor developer being like you just lost the company $400,000 in sales, you know, like, yeah. Oh, that kills me. Is there's so many edge cases and people will try to exploit that and figure out the sneaks around it.
Yeah. That was a whole plot of a movie, not Digital Coupons. What, Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler is like a serious film that he did. But that was like the whole thing was that there was like some essentially like a flaw in their coupon logic. And it wasn't a computer based thing, but it was just like actual coupons. And then he used enough of them to be able to like take a flight in a vacation somewhere for free, essentially on this company. And it was like they didn't want to honor it. But he's just like, I mean, it's on the, you have the rules right here. I'm following the rules. So
Yeah. Oh, coupons. That's great. Coupons. All right. Tweet us your thoughts on coupon engines. We'd love to hear it at SyntaxFM. Other than that, we'll catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.